your Bibles tonight. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Again, thanks for praying for Evie. Thanks for praying for our family. Amen, and congratulations, Seth. You're a member of the church that I'd be a member of if I lived within 100 miles of here.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I mean that. This is where I'd be. That'd be my pastor right there if I lived anywhere near here. If it was God's will, I'd be proud to be an evangelist out of Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church and a member, amen, of this church. And I thank God I got a great church, but there's more than one, and you're in one, and congratulations. And they didn't let me vote, but I'd have voted for you. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Brother Spurgeon, do you have a sugar stick? I might have said this here. I don't remember. I've only got one or two jokes, so sooner or later I'm about to repeat them. And I said, I don't know. Let me try. I tried to preach a sugar stick, you know, one of them sweet messages that everybody liked, and it turned out to be more stick than sugar. So I don't really try that. Amen. I didn't come here to tickle your ears or entertain you. But maybe the Lord speak to us tonight, and that'll make us all better. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 17 tonight, and verse number 9. Here's a verse Joel Osteen's never read in public. I have no idea where that came from, but somebody probably needed to hear it. Let's all feel good about ourselves as we read in the Bible where it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
Yes, sir.
Who can know it? Man, that made me feel so warm and fuzzy inside that I think we'll read it again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? That is talking about the heart of man. This isn't a condemnation of the heathen. Amen. This is a State of the Union message for the human race. The heart is desperately wicked. No, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That deceitful above all things is a boatload right there. Amen. Bible warns us about false brethren, about false doctrine, about false prophets. The Bible warns us about the deceiver himself, the Satan, if it's possible to deceive the very elect. Amen. And amongst all that, it comes back here to say that the heart that's within, hey, standard equipment in every human being is a heart that is deceitful above all things. In other words, some of us need to quit blaming the devil for stuff that he doesn't even know about. We've got a deceitful heart. Amen. Isn't that cheerful? Hey, amen. That's Tuesday. It's okay. It could get better. It might not, but it could. Hey, amen. Mankind has got a problem. Praise the Lord. We've been to the doctor. It's been diagnosed. It's a heart problem. Amen. They weren't living for God, and they asked me to talk to them, and they got saved. They were healed, not whole. And so, you know, when all the gentle techniques failed, this was years ago before I was an evangelist, sometimes they'd just send Brother Spurgeon to talk to them. I mean, this was my upbringing for the ministry. Amen. And this particular person, I went and said, hey, man, you're acting like an idiot. Isn't that soothing? And they said, well, you know, who do you think you are, you know? And I said, well, I don't think I'm anybody, but look what the Bible says. And that person said to me, he says, you're not the Holy Spirit. I knew that. They said, God knows my heart. Yeah. And yeah, he does. And here's what he knows about it. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He said, God knows my heart. And I said, yeah, he does. It's black, I told him. That's when I got out of the... I knew right along those times that I probably wasn't called to be a pastor. Amen. Amen. But that book says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let's pray. Father, Lord God, we know that what you say in this book is true. And we believe it because it says that in that book. But Lord God, truth be known, anybody in this room been around very long at all knows that we can't trust our own heart. It'll deceive us. And Lord God, I pray that tonight we get some insight from the Word of God that would help us with that heart problem that we are born with. And may we take it to the only person that can do anything about it. And I pray that we would. And I pray, God, just pray, God, you'd meet needs tonight, bless, comfort, whatever needs to go on. But I pray that your spirit would prevail here tonight. We'd be honest with you. We'd maintain an attitude of gratitude and fix up anything that needs to be straightened out tonight so that we can go on and address something else tomorrow. I love you tonight, and I pray that you bless the service and these precious folks that have come out on a Tuesday night. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It'll deceive you into thinking this. If you're saved here tonight, here's what your heart will deceive you into thinking. It'll deceive you into thinking you can play around with sin and not get caught. It'll deceive you into thinking that you'll be the exception. Now, my Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'll tell you what we could do sometimes. We confuse the unfathomable mercy of God. We confuse God's mercy when he deals with us to get something right. We confuse that into thinking that we're getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. God's just being merciful. But payday's going to come.
Yes, sir.
And don't let a deceitful heart convince you to believe something that's contrary to what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. It'll deceive you into thinking, amen, you can get away with sin. If you can, God's a liar. Says God is not mocked. He's no liar. That's not his problem. That's our problem. We lie to ourselves. Be not deceived. You got a heart that'll deceive you into thinking you can play around with sin. You got a heart that'll deceive you into thinking that it doesn't matter how you live. As long as you come to church once in a while, amen, come to church even every time the doors are open, you've got a heart that'll deceive you into thinking that it is not important to live soberly, righteously, and godly. But you've got a Bible that says you're supposed to. Don't let that heart talk you out of doing something God says that you should do for your own good and for the good of a lost and dying world. We're supposed to be different. It doesn't matter if it's 2007. It doesn't matter if the preacher's old-fashioned. It doesn't matter if this book's 400 years old. Don't let a deceitful heart, amen, deceive you into thinking that this stuff's not important. Holiness is a New Testament doctrine. Sanctification, consecration are New Testament doctrines. And, you know, we claim to be Bible believers, and we talk about all these other crowds, and they're far from the truth, and they're not doctrinally correct. But if we're not careful, we act more like them than we'd want to admit. Amen. I'll tell you, worse than your heart can deceive you into thinking. If you're not saved here tonight, and you're a good person, and I can stand up here and preach all of sin that comes short. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's all true. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. When I see traveling around the country, this country's full of a lot of good people. Good by man's standard. Decent people. Honorable people. I run into them all the time. Everybody's not wicked. Everybody's not a pervert. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Everybody needs to have their sins forgiven. But there's a lot of people. Hey, it was easy to preach to me in a jail cell. I knew I was a sinner, but there's so much wickedness going on. There's a lot of people that you'll pass on a day-to-day basis that don't see themselves as bad people. And according to other people, they may not be. The most dangerous deception there could possibly be is to be deceived into thinking, you're all right. You don't need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've used this illustration a few times, and I'll tell you where it happened. Right here. First time I came. Brother, you took me to a restaurant after the morning service, the first time I preached here in 2005, and you gave this tract right here to somebody that had something to do with the local government. Do you remember that guy at that restaurant? You talked to him today? Amen. He gave him that tract. We went to that restaurant. Eric, you were there. Allison, that homestyle chicken, where? I don't know where that was. You never took me back for some reason. Food was so good, and they gave you so much, it probably went out of business. Amen. This guy was there. Pastor knew him, gave him a tract. And we went, enjoyed the fellowship, just really getting to know each other. For some reason, they have invited me back a couple times. Amen. And when we got done, that guy got done about the same time. And during the course of dinner, he read that entire tract. You remember that? Do you remember what he said? He said, that's some story. Then he said something that had never occurred to me before that many people must have thought. You really did need to get saved. He read that tract and he saw a wicked sinner. But you know what he didn't see? He didn't see his own need. That Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I fear that there's people whose heart have deceived them into thinking, amen, that salvation thing, that's good down at the prison house. That's good down at the juvenile detention center. Maybe not at the rescue mission, but I'm doing all right. Let me tell you something. You're not even close to doing all right till your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Man's got a heart problem. Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things. David knew it. David knew it. He addresses it. Turn to Psalm 51. All right. Somebody got their pacemaker turned off. Amen. Good. Amen. I thought somebody was backing up or something. Amen. Psalm 51, familiar verse, 10, verse 10. Now, David was aware that man had a heart problem, that he had a heart problem, and he took it to the great physician, amen, and this spiritual heart problem, that's the only place you can take it. There's nobody in town. There's no college degree that'll make an expert on fixing this thing up. You take it to God. David did, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And David addressed the problem. I'll tell you what, to get to that point, you have to get to where he was in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You know, when he got that thing straightened out, when he got sick of it being before him, and he acknowledged this, against thee and against thee, thee only have I sinned. Amen. That's what we need to get a hold of. That our sin is against God. And we hurt each other in different ways. We transgress the law of the land. But sin ultimately is against our Creator. And the only thing you can do about that is to go to the only one that can create, like David says, create in me, not change, not counsel, not give me another chance. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Amen. David's addressing it. And God must have heard that prayer. And God must have answered that prayer in short order, because if you'll turn over to verse or chapter or Psalm 57, just a few Psalms over. Brother Grady would say, hang a right. Amen. And go to Psalm 57. Of course, as soon as I said that, I closed my Bible on myself. And look in verse 7. David's prayer, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In verse 7 of Psalm 57, you hear David praising God for answering that prayer. Yeah. What's he say? My heart is fixed, O God. Amen. My heart is fixed.
Amen.
Amen. I was singing give praise. He had a heart problem. Amen. You and I got a heart problem.
Yeah.
But God's in the heart fixing business.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you some things tonight. Here's the title. We'll call it Get It Fixed. You know what the problem is? It's your heart. So let me say, let me give you some things here tonight. Get it fixed. Number one, fixed. Get it fixed. Fixed is a term of reparation, as in repair. As in repair. Get it fixed. When you tell me that something needs to be fixed, then that tells me it's broken. Amen. And you live in a motor home, you hear that a lot. Amen. Something always is broken. Something always needs to be fixed. And it's always expensive, I've noticed. Amen. And so if something breaks, you fix it. Unless you're like me. And sometimes when you try to fix things, you make them worse. Now, I'm better than I used to be. By virtue of necessity, I've learned to do a few things, but I'm not that handy, to tell you the truth. And so here's the way it goes. If something needs fixing, and you can fix it, you do. But if you can't, here's what you have to do. First of all, you have to determine whether or not it's worth fixing. And if it is, then you have to take it to somebody that can fix it. You've got a heart problem that you can't fix. Now you've got to take that thing to somebody that can. And there's only one person that can. And the Bible says in Isaiah 61 in verse 1, it says this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That last part's my favorite part. I like that. That opening of the, I like that. Woo! Thank you, Lord. The Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. You know what that tells you? That tells you that God has determined, even though we got a heart problem, God has determined that it's worth fixing. Amen. And I've been saved just long enough to see him bind up hearts that have been broken by alcohol and addiction. I've seen him fix hearts devastated by sickness and sorrow. I've seen him repair hearts ravaged by sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Boy, I'm glad to report tonight that God is in the heart-fixing business. Amen. We got a problem. I mean, I got a lot of problems. But there's one, man, that you can't do a thing about. But God, I mean, without breaking a sweat. Amen. Can bind up the broken heart. It's a term of reparation, as in needing repair. God can do the job. Amen. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let me say this to you tonight. You get your heart fixed by God. Amen. And he's the one that can do it. That's who you get it fixed by. Get it fixed by God. Get it fixed tonight. It's a term of reparation. That's not all. It's a term of determination. Fixed is a term of determination. And it's an infantry term. I was an infantryman. I was a light weapons specialist, paratrooper. And fixed is an infantry term. And then this. Having your position fixed. So what does that mean? That means you're going to hold the line. Amen. It means you are not going to move. You're not going to retreat. Amen. Your position is fixed. That's it. It's an infantry term. It's a term of determination. I got to go to England a couple years ago. I got to go to England, and we went over to France to Normandy. And I took my whole family to the American Cemetery in Omaha Beach. 10,000 crosses. 10,000 American soldiers buried there. And that is, there's cemeteries like that all over Europe. Over half of them died in one morning. We can't comprehend that. Wonder what the news media do with that. Amen? I wanted my family to be reminded, myself as well, that the freedom and liberty that we have in this country, even to disagree, was paid for in the blood of our troops. That's why no matter what you think of the politics, you need to pray for the troops. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And in the course of going over there to the D-Day battleground, I read some books. I read all about it. And we got to stand on the field where the 101st and the 82nd Airborne landed behind Utah Beach and the 4th Infantry. I mean, it was pretty neat. And then, of course, I read about that. I read books on through the end of the war. But I'll tell you what, I'll never forget the Battle of Bastogne at the Battle of the Bulge. 101st Airborne Division, one battalion, was pinned down by several German tank divisions. They were pinned down in the winter of 1944. And without supplies, without food, running low on ammunition, and no medical supplies, and guys losing limbs from frostbite for 28 days, 101st Airborne Division held the line. Their position was fixed. It's a term of reparation, but it's a term of determination. They were determined that they were going to leave that battlefield victors and not victims. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says this, "Be ye, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Sometimes it seems like it is. Amen, but it's not. Brother, you do a great job song leading. There's a song in there. You may feel led to bring to us, "I am resolved to follow the Savior." What's that mean? That means determined. That means your position is fixed. There's no backing out. My wife's got a term. She says like this, a phrase, "Commit beyond retreat." You know why men fall back? Because they leave themselves an out. I don't want an out. Amen. I want to finish my course. I want to finish well. Don't you? Fixed is a term of reparation. It's a term of determination. First you get your heart fixed by God. Then you get your heart fixed on God. And you'll be a victor and not a victim. Fixed is also a term of navigation. Navigation. Let me ask you. Have we got any Navy people in here? We got any Navy vets? Amen. No Navy vets. That's too bad. Listen, here's what people tell me all the time. They tell me that I was crazy for jumping on airplanes. And I don't know what's crazy about it. In the years that I did that, not one single person missed the ground. Everybody landed on the ground. Gravity takes care of that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what is crazy. I wish we had some Navy vets in here. I'm going to tell you what's crazy. I got to go. I preached out of Norfolk, Virginia. And I got to go on the USS George Washington. I got a guided tour, amen, by a guy in the church that was on that ship. And he took me all over. This is the flagship of the Atlantic Fleet. It is huge. It's 5 stories high. The deck is 1,000 feet long. It's a giant ship. You get there on the dock and you look up at this great big old thing and you walk around in there. It's a city afloat. 5,000 men on that ship. It's huge. Sitting in the harbor. You get that thing out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and it's like a postage stamp in a bathtub. I'm going to tell you what's crazy. It ain't jumping out of airplanes with a parachute. It's going out there in the middle of the ocean where there's fish big enough to eat people with one bite and floating around on a little boat getting in a storm that'll take a 1,000-foot craft and put it at a 45-degree list with waves breaking. I'd go insane, man. I don't think I'd have one. Fixed is a term of navigation. You know what those ships have to get from across the ocean? They have to have their coordinates fixed. It's a term of navigation. I preach in Los Angeles. I'm going to be there in about 2 weeks. And we stand up on the hill looking down on L.A. Harbor. And one time I counted 19 ships in a holding pattern waiting to come into L.A. Harbor and unload container ships. It's fascinating to me. Because like I say, I've never been out on a ship. I don't want to. Amen. I don't like fish. I don't ever intend to be eaten by a fish. Amen. They can breathe underwater. I can't. That tells me that ain't my turf. I get out there and watch them ships unload. And man, there's flags and the name on a ship from Singapore and Taiwan and Tokyo and names I can't even pronounce. And it's just amazing that they can leave, that a ship could leave Tokyo, Japan and sail across the ocean to go to the Los Angeles Harbor and make it. That's fascinating to me. It has to have its coordinates, its compass, its crew. Everything has got to be fixed on something that's not going to change. Do you realize that if a ship left Tokyo headed for Los Angeles, if it was just a couple degrees off, it could be hundreds and hundreds of miles off by the time it went all the way across the ocean? That's why their coordinates have to be fixed on something that absolutely will not change. Your course better be fixed on something that won't change. Amen. You want to finish your course. Amen. I better not be fixed on pleasure or people or places. That stuff changes. That Bible says in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 13, yeah, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I thank God I've got a Savior that never changes. David prayed, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And again, you get your heart fixed on God, you'll stay on course. And the people that get off course, this is why. They didn't stay fixed on God. It's a term of reparation. It's a term of determination. It's a term of navigation. There, how's that? 3 points. I don't have a poem, but I got 4 more points. Here we go. It's a term of stabilization. Stabilization. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if I had Hillary Clinton's email address, I'd send that to her, and because a double-minded woman is too. Amen. Say, what do you mean? Look at that Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you saved?
Yes.
You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me tell you some things about the old nature, the old creature. He was unstable.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about the people that you meet that aren't saved. They're unstable in this regard. I've got a chance to talk to a lot of people. You know what? They don't know where they came from. They don't know where they came from. That's why the public school, and I don't know how long, they teach evolution, don't they? Thank God. Some people know better than that.
Yeah.
Amen. But you know why? You can convince a person that they may have evolved, because without God, what do you know? You're unstable. You don't know where you came from. You don't know why you're here. You have no concept of what your purpose is. Amen. That's why people become millionaires and blow their brains out. Amen. Overdose on drugs. Or get a guy, I don't know, that Enron thing. Multi-millionaires end up going to prison for life for embezzling $2 million. How much do you need? Well, if you have no idea where you came from, if you have no idea what your purpose for living is, the saddest thing that can ever happen to anybody is to attain all their goals and really find out how empty they are without Jesus Christ. I know where I came from. I know why I'm here. That book says in Revelation 4:11 that we are created to bring pleasure to Jesus Christ. That's our purpose, to please Him. Amen. And I know where I came from. Amen. I believe what the Bible says about Adam and Eve. I believe that. I got no problem at all with that. I'm going to tell you why the old man, the old creature is unstable. He doesn't just not know where he came from or why he's here, what his purpose is. He doesn't know where he's going when he dies. Boy, I do. I'll tell you what, you get that eternal life thing straightened out. Here's what you get. You get some stability in your life. Amen. Fixed is a term of stabilization. Psalm 112 verse 7 says, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Boy, if you trust in the Lord's book, the questions of where you came from, why you're here, are answered. And more important than that, trusting in the Lord, you know where you're going to go when it's all over. I'm not afraid of dying. Amen. I'm afraid. The thing I can think of that I'm afraid of is failing my Savior. That's where we got to keep our guard up every day. I'm not afraid of losing my salvation. Amen. I just want to live for Him. It scares me. I got a testimony. I want to be a good testimony. I don't want to lose it. I send these little kids Bibles. You know why? It's not because I think I'm some great preacher. Not like that. I signed them little kids' Bibles because one time I saw in a kid's Bible a big black mark. And I don't ever want to be one of them. And I'll sign these kids' Bibles. I'd say, when you open up this page, you pray for all the preachers that are on this list. I like a bunch of little kids. I don't want my testimony to cause some little kid to say, boy, I really like that preacher and he's messed up. Fixed is a term of stabilization. Fixed is a term of intoxication. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. As in needing a fix. It's an addict term. Amen. And here's how it goes for those of you that don't have any idea, and I hope that's most of you. If you need a fix, it means that you have a need in your life that dominates your life. It means that something has such a hold on you that you'll do whatever you got to do to have it. Isn't that what an addict is? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Bible says this, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it's the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They addicted themselves. Man, they got so full of God and being a blessing to God's people that they couldn't help themselves anymore. They just wanted to give more. They wanted more. They wanted more of God. Amen. Here's how you do it. How do you addict yourself? It didn't just happen. Nobody slipped nothing in their drink. This was no accident. That Bible says they addicted themselves. Here's how that's done. Proverbs 23 and verse 26 says this. Now we've already agreed on the thing that we got a heart problem, right? So we got a heart problem, deceitful above all things. What can we do? Well, Proverbs 23:26 says this, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Well, I tell you what, you can't trust that heart, give it to God. If you give it to God, you get addicted to the things of God, you won't have no problem showing up at church. You won't have no problem being grateful and letting your gratitude change how you live. You won't have no problem saying no to sin and saying yes to what's right. You won't have no problem giving when it's time to give. You won't have no problem selling out and getting all the way in. If you're addicted, you ought to be able to help yourself. Man, if I get sick and miss a church service, I feel backslidden. Yeah. And I can't even, by the grace of God, remember. I can't remember missing 6 church services in 17 years. By the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Probably shouldn't have said that. Probably be sorry I said that. Probably be sick tomorrow. Probably come anyway. Breathe right on you. Amen. Get your heart fixed with God. Get your heart fixed to God. You know what'll happen? Nothing else will ever satisfy. Well, I tell you what, men, last 17 years, I've been on a high, man, that nothing and before I ever touched. Yes. Fixed is a term of reparation and determination and navigation. Fixed is a term of stabilization. Fixed is a term of intoxication. Fixed is a term of celebration. My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Yes.
Amen. You got something to celebrate, man, when you get your heart fixed. Amen. Now listen, I get up here and preach, I get all kinds of dirty looks, mostly from my wife. Amen. But I get all kinds of dirty looks. I mean, I've made people upset this year with some things that I've preached. Amen. And I expect that. As a matter of fact, if you decide to start giving me dirty looks, it will just make me preach harder on whatever it is I think's upsetting you. It's just how it is. I'm an evangelist. I can't help it. I understand it. But I'm going to tell you what. Every once in a while, and it doesn't happen very often, and I'm really glad. But every once in a while, I'll be in some church, and they'll have all these chairs up here, and the pastor sits up here while the song leader sings, and they'll have a chair, and I feel so dumb sitting up there. I just want to come up when it's time to preach and go back down. Amen. I ain't no better than anybody else. But I'll tell you what, I've been amazed on a few occasions where I sat up in the chair and hear the song leaders leading it as well as my soul. And I'm looking at the faces of the people singing songs about the rapture of the church, man. They look nastier than when I'm preaching at them. Picking their teeth, their nose, their fingernails while we're singing the songs of Zion. Amen. That's the part of service you ought to be able to enjoy.
Yes.
It's amazing what some people do. Amen. While we're singing about the old rugged cross, about when the roll is called up yonder. Amen. Even if you don't like the preaching, you don't like that stuff. If you're saved. Man, a lot of people get more excited about some of that than saved people do. If that's your case, if you can get excited about the Red Sox and not the red blood, you need to get your heart fixed. Amen. Maybe you need to get on an old-fashioned altar and pray David's prayer. Create me a clean heart. I didn't say get saved again. You might be saved, but you need to get your heart fixed so you can celebrate, so that you can sing, so that you can give praise. It's amazing. People get excited about everything but God. Amen. I think God got excited about you. Aren't you glad? Amen. Maybe you should pray that and really mean it. It'd be amazing. You know what? You'd have something to sing about. Amen. Those songs would be sweeter to you. Amen. You'd have something to praise God about. You wouldn't be so worried about what everybody else thinks. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, with a little practice, you might even have something to shout about. Amen. You know, try it sometimes. It'd do you good. Go ahead. Just let loose. Won't bother me. Missed your chance. Last of all, those long-anticipated words from a Baptist evangelist. Last of all, you've had McGahee and Drummond here this year already. You know that doesn't mean nothing when we say that. You know we can still go on for another half hour. Some of you just about fainted when I said that. That's why I said it. Amen. No, I won't be long. Last of all, fixed is the term of preparation. Now, I understand we're in, where are we? Are we in Massachusetts, Rhode Island? I don't even know where I am. The counties in California are bigger than the whole of New England. Amen. I go city to city and I'm going across state lines up here. Amen. You may not understand this time, but next time, if there might not be a next, you'll understand it. Fixed is a term of preparation. Now here's what I mean. It means you're getting ready to do something. If you're fixing, do we have anybody from the South? If you're fixing to do something, it means you're getting ready to do something. Like, get your coat, we're fixing to leave. Here's the famous one every Baptist knows. We're fixing to eat. I got a preacher in Texas every time before I preach, he gets in the pulpit and he goes, Now, Brother Spurgeon's fixing to preach.
Amen. It means you're getting ready to do something. If you're fixing to do something. Fix is a term of preparation. You know why? Because Amos said this. He said, prepare to meet thy God. You know why that's important? Because you're fixing to meet him. Amen. You're fixing to meet him. You've got an appointment. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. You've got an appointment and you don't know when it is. You're not going to be late either. Amen. I preached down in Miami one time in a Cuban church. I go down there every year and preach to an interpreter in a Cuban church. We have a good meeting down there, but Miami, there's a lot of traffic. It's crazy. And I got down there and the preacher said, Brother Spurgeon, these folks, it takes about 15 or 20 minutes, 20 after 7, before everybody really gets there. So he's apologizing that they start about 20 after 7 for a meeting that's supposed to start at 7. And I says, hey, I don't care what time we start. I'm 1,400 miles from home. I ain't going home tonight. And I tell you what, he said, we're on Cuban time down here. And I says, okay, that's fine. I'm going to tell you what, he told the truth. When everybody got there and the meeting got started, we've always had good meetings down there. We're going down there in January again. And then I went out west and I got to go to the Navajo Reservation. And them folks drive 80 miles, some of them, to come to church. All these churches support each other. I preached out there a couple years in a row, and I never knew what church anybody went to because I saw them all at all the churches because they really supported each other's meetings, just like in the early book of Acts. That's what it made me think of. They really were in one accord. Amen. But the preacher came to me, and he said, Brother Spurgeon, take some of these folks while to get here, and, you know, and these Indians, you know, where he is Navajo himself. And he said, we're on Navajo time out here, but when we get going, it'll be good. And we'd always start late, and when it got going, it was always good. And so I got Cuban time. Now I got Navajo time. And then I got to Los Angeles. And everything was kind of laid back. And, you know, we'll get going here pretty soon. And everything was real slow pace. Everything was cool, laid back. And the guy said, after all, we're on California time. And I'm going, man, I'm 2,900 miles from home. I ain't going home tonight. And we have great service, and I love all them people. Then I got to New York City. And everybody talks 100 miles an hour, but they still start 10 minutes late. I mean, because, you know, all the traffic, and there was an accident, and the pileup, and the bridge, and then the toll booth. And we always had good services. But we're on New York time. And as an evangelist, man, I just get a cross-section of this country that I love, and these people that I love, and these churches that I love. But you know what? That's not Navajo time or Cuban time. It's becoming Baptist time. God's not on Baptist time. You got an appointment with your Creator, and it might be today. That Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I tell you what, if your testimony, if there's issues in your life that are not, if you're not prepared to give an account for them, you better get that thing fixed while you can. You better take opportunities that you've been given this week to get on your face before God and get whatever you need to get right. You need to get it right now because you might be given an account for them before you know it. You're fixing to meet them. Amen. You're not sitting there tonight. You're definitely not prepared to meet God. You can be. You need to get saved. God can take care of that thing. Boy, he made a way on the cross of Calvary for the sin problem to be fixed. I wish I wouldn't have waited so long. I wish I didn't have so many regrets and so much baggage and so much junk in my head that I can't even close my eyes when I pray sometimes. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish I'd have got saved younger. I wish I'd have responded to an invitation like you get a chance to respond to every time your preacher preaches, every service this week. I wish I'd have gone out younger, but I didn't. But I'm glad that I'm saved now. But I sure miss some good opportunities. Don't you miss them? If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to have your sins forgiven. You may never have done some of the things that I've done. That's not what you're going to be judged by. So that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You're not going to be compared to anybody else. You're going to come short of the glory of God is what's going to happen. And don't find yourself in that position. I'm warning you. I can show you from the Bible. You'll have no excuse. Make sure you don't need one. If you're not saved, get saved. Let us open a Bible and show you. And if you're saved and you're not where you ought to be spiritually, you might be in your seat and everybody can look good for an hour or two. But you know what's going on in your life. You know what's going on in your heart. You know what you're struggling with. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Preacher said it yesterday. This is where you lay it aside. You're never going to get a better chance than in a place where God's people are dealing with you. The Holy Spirit's got prevalence here in a church service. There's no better place. There's no better time. This isn't a class in a college where you accumulate information and you put it on a notebook and you close it and you put it on a shelf. This is real. This isn't religion. This is Bible Christianity. Bible Christianity is respond when the Holy Ghost of God speaks your heart. That's the difference between what we got and the religious world. And I don't say that makes us better than them. They need this. So if you need to talk to your Savior tonight, that's what time it is. You got something that needs to be fixed? Get it fixed. Amen. Maybe your course is not fixed on Jesus Christ. Maybe your testimony is wavering, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because you're fixed on people or places or things. Why don't you get it fixed on Christ tonight? You know what we do? We do. Well, I'll try. Forget trying. I'll try to quit doing that. I'll try to come to church. Just do it. Determined. Amen. And paratroopers lay in foxholes while they were being bombed, and they made up their mind that they would die before they'd fail. And some of them dead. I'd rather die trying to do right. Amen. And just, well, I'll try. No, man, purpose in your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. He would not defile himself. I know we can't do it without God. I'm not insinuating that we can. But he's willing to help, man. It's just that when that Bible says, draw nigh to God, and that's what the preacher was talking about at the beginning, that means it's your move. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It's a promise. It's just your move. And if you'll make a move, God will make a move your direction. Amen. He's for us, man. He's not against us. He's not setting us up. He's not tricking us. He's for us. Get it fixed. Nail it down. Get some stability. Get as excited about God as you have other things. You got something in your life that you're more excited about than him now? God doesn't say we can't like other things, enjoy other things. There's nothing wrong with the Red Sox unless they are more important to you than the Lord. Nothing wrong with hunting and fishing unless you follow me. I mean, I could go through the whole list, but I'm afraid I'd miss somebody and then you'd think you're off the hook. You know what I'm talking about. He just says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you can get his priorities, they become yours. You wouldn't believe the rest of the things in your life, how God will bless them for you. And the whole world will be better. get fixed on Jesus Christ. Boy, he is fixed on you one day. Doesn't he? Father, I love you, and I thank you for the liberty that we pray and ask for. And I pray, Lord God, that perhaps something was said that will really matter and make a difference. I want to encourage this church. It's been such a friend and a blessing to us. And I pray, Lord God, that your spirit bear witness. I'm talking about on an individual basis to one of these points, one of these concepts that make it real and applicable and to someone's life in here tonight, that they might see a need or even just be grateful for what you do and what you've done, what you're doing. I'm glad to be saved, but Lord, I'm glad that you're in my life every day. Now, I'm more than just thankful for that day 17 years ago. I'm thankful for today. Lord God, I love you tonight. Now, what these folks need right now, I can't give them. There's nothing I'm going to be able to say. So I pray your spirit would deal with their hearts and that they would deal with you in return. And bless them. And Father, I pray you'd get a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name. Get it fixed, man. The altar is open.